From StoryFlow, this is your daily audio brief for July 1st. Riley, July 1st. The morning read 10 stories, balanced sourcing throughout. Let's get into it. First, from the Daily Bast. CNN reporter Paula Reed reportedly quitting the network. A star CNN reporter is poised to make a surprise exit as the cable network braces for the political impact of an imminent Paramount takeover. Paula Reed has reportedly told the cable network she will leave when her current contract expires, according to reporting by Status. The shock exit comes as Paramount's $111 billion takeover of CNN's parent company, Warner Bros. Next, second, from the Hindu Top, Ukrainian drone attacks on oil refineries plunge Russia into a summer fuel crisis. Ukrainian drones have been hitting several Russian oil refineries this summer, and the damage is already tightening the fuel market there. The strikes knocked out key processing units, cutting output enough that domestic gasoline supplies are slipping, and prices are nudging higher across the country. Officials in Kyiv say the campaign is meant to squeeze Moscow's war machine, hitting the logistics chain that fuels its frontline operations. By choking off fuel, they hope to make sustained offensives harder to fund and move. Russia's energy ministry is scrambling to reroute crude to other plants and boost imports, but the short-term outlook points to tighter pumps at the pump and a noticeable bump in the cost of filling up for ordinary drivers. Up next, third, from the Hindu Top, Delhi High Court refuses interim protection to Raghav Chadha, directs takedown of 5 posts. Justice Subramaniam Prasad held that the case did not, at this stage, involve a violation of personality rights. However, the judge directed the removal of 5 posts that it found to be prima facie defamatory. And then, fourth, from Channel News Asia, $55 million good class bungalow seized in connection with NVIDIA chip movement case. The police issued a prohibition of disposal order against the GCB and seized some $1 million of funds in bank accounts as part of their investigations, which have resulted in additional charges for the 4 people allegedly involved. Next, fifth, from the Bulwark, American intelligence is in crisis. Where's Congress? Last week, the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, comprising the United States, the UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, issued a public warning that frontier artificial intelligence models will be capable of large-scale cyber attacks not in years, but in months. Such attacks could shut down a regional power grid, ground a national air traffic control system, take a missile defense radar offline, or corrupt the financial databases on which the American economy runs. That warning landed on a U.S. Up next, sixth, from the Bulwark, shame won't save us from the autocrats. Last year, as the Trump administration was rounding up protesters, invading neighborhoods, and prosecuting enemies, I was interviewing dissidents around the world. The aim was to identify what Americans facing an authoritarian breakthrough could learn from others who have confronted political repression. My colleague Julia Engman and I were working toward writing a manual full of practical steps Americans can take to preserve our own democracy. There was so much about these conversations that surprised me. And then, seventh, from NBC News, Trump reports more than $1 billion in income from crypto ventures in financial disclosure. President Trump's 2025 financial filing shows he pulled in more than $1 billion from cryptocurrency ventures and meme coin investments. The numbers sit alongside his usual business disclosures, marking a sizable shift toward digital assets. In the same filing, he confirmed the Republican Party's plan to host a midterm convention in Dallas, Texas. The choice of Dallas signals a strategic push for the upcoming elections, tying the party's messaging to a key swing state. Both points landed in the latest news round, giving a clear picture of his financial landscape and the GOP's event calendar without any extra spin. Next, eighth, from The Guardian World. Wednesday briefing. After 2 powerful earthquakes, what is the reality on the ground in Venezuela?
In today's newsletter, a country already in crisis since the removal of its leader earlier this year by the U.S., now has to find a way to rebuild with little state presence in evidence the shaking seemed to come from nowhere. In a moment captured by fissures off Venezuela's Caribbean coast, 2 earthquakes struck seconds apart. Plumes of dust appear where buildings once stood in the recording as the camera rises and falls with the swell. The men rapidly head for the shore in search of their families. "I'm shaking," says the cameraman. Since the quakes struck last Wednesday, the search for missing loved ones has not stopped for scores of Venezuelans. Officially, more than 1,700 people have died, but tens of thousands remain missing. Desperate relatives are walking up and down streets lined by rubble and collapsed buildings with photos of those they cannot find, asking for help. World News: a child has been rescued from the rubble in Venezuela, 6 days since the country was hit by devastating twin earthquakes. UK politics' Andy Burnham will have to find an extra £4.7 spend for defence in his first budget, after Keir Starmer announced a £298 spend defence investment plan dip without having fully identified how it will be funded. US politics: the US Supreme Court has upheld the constitutional guarantee of birthright citizenship, affirming that nearly all people born on US soil are American citizens and rejecting a central pillar of Donald Trump's anti-immigrant agenda. UK news: the European media group Axel Springer has completed its £575 takeover of The Telegraph, ending years of uncertainty over the future ownership of the 171-year-old titles. US News: 9 matches in the World Cup group stage were played amid potentially dangerous heat and humidity, a Guardian analysis shows.
Continue reading up next. 9th, from Bloomberg Top. US says Witkoff, Kushner had positive Iran deal talks.
A senior administration official told Bloomberg that Jared Kushner and real estate investor Steve Witkoff had constructive talks in Doha with regional leaders. The official said the Qatar meetings are part of the indirect channel the United States and Iran have been using to keep dialogue alive and explore a broader peace framework. Alongside the political conversation, the team moved on to technical discussions with Iranian officials, indicating that groundwork for a longer-term arrangement is still being laid.
The report suggests the talks are progressing, but nothing is finalized yet. Both sides are still testing the waters before any formal agreement can be signed. And then, 10th, from the Daily Beast, Stephen Miller floats wild idea after crushing SCOTUS ruling.
Stephen Miller has suggested an extreme workaround for the Supreme Court's ruling that Donald Trump's executive order overriding birthright citizenship is illegal. The deputy White House chief of staff appeared yet again on Fox News, where on Monday he complained about the high court siding against the administration in a case involving mail-in ballots. This time, Miller was similarly disgusted by the court affirming that the 14th Amendment grants citizenship to individuals born in the United States. With that avenue for overhauling over 150 years of precedent closed, Miller suggested the Trump administration may now try to ban pregnant foreigners from entering the country.
You have to now think very carefully about who you let into your country, even on a temporary basis, because the possibility, as you said, for birth tourism, Miller, 40, told host Jesse Waters.
People come here just to have babies on American soil, and that baby gets to be a citizen for life, Miller, a key architect of the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies, said.
So, you have mothers that come in fully pregnant, have a baby, go home, and that baby gets Medicaid, and that baby gets welfare, and that baby gets cash assistance.
They will leave the baby with a cousin, a relative, whatever, then send welfare checks back home.
So there's a lot of things we will have to take a hard look at, Jesse.
Yet the federal government already has rules and directives in place to try to counter birth tourism. Under a State Department rule established in January 2020 during the first Trump administration, consular officers are instructed to deny any B visa application from an applicant whom the consular officer has reason to believe is traveling for the primary purpose of giving birth in the United States to obtain U.S. citizenship for their child. The Justice Department on Tuesday also reiterated its April directive to prosecutors to target certain immigrant networks as part of its birth tourism initiative. Lying on visa applications about one's pregnancy or travel intentions still constitutes fraud. You can support a whole family in the third world, Miller continued. So yes, you can't have the kinds of immigration programs other countries have when you can just have a baby here and now that child is an American citizen. Furthermore, only certain medical reasons permit pregnant immigrants to come to the U.S. to give birth, according to Immigration Advice Services. Still, Miller's idea carried weight with some conservative commentators as well as MAGA Rep. Andy Ockles, who introduced the Anchors Away Act, which he said bans all pregnant aliens from entering the U.S. Whether that legislation gets any traction remains to be seen. But one certainty is that Miller's dream of getting the Supreme Court to essentially overlook the text of the 14th Amendment is dead. While Miller was on Fox grumbling about his loss, MS Now anchor Chris Hayes explained just how extreme, how unhinged, and how, frankly, racist his argument was. The Supreme Court repudiated Miller's interpretation of the 14th Amendment in 1898, Hayes said, when it ruled that a child born in the U.S. to Chinese citizens was an American.
It looked at the plain text of the law, and they found that. And they handed down that decision that this 2 years after upholding racial segregation in Plessy v. Ferguson, Hayes noted, referring to that 7-1 ruling. Five of the same justices were in the majority in each decision.
Those justices, the ones who enshrined Jim Crow in the laws of the United States, they cemented separate but equal, but even they upheld birthright citizenship in a 6-2 vote, because the language of the 14th was plain as day, Hayes said. That is how racist Stephen Miller and Donald Trump's argument is. It is more racist than a racist, reactionary court. The infamous Plessy Court was almost 130 years ago. Think about that. That's the day.